What is a soul, that divine spark that is so elusive to human existence? Delmarva Public Radio essayist George Merrill writes, "We need to look no further than our hearts."
I have had many conversations with aging folk about death. Invariably, the subject of an afterlife comes up. The discussion soon revolves around the existence of a soul and whether it survives after our death. The soul is tricky to define. As a child, I remember reciting this prayer as a nightly ritual. I knelt by my bed, reverently placed my folded hands on the covers while saying, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Next, I prayed for all my deceased relatives, asking God to look after them. I didn't want them to feel abandoned the way I did when they died. Souls, I was certain, were something like Casper the Friendly Ghost. Like wafting smoke, my soul would one day go through walls and closed doors like Casper, and, unconstrained by any physical obstacles, soar between heaven and earth as I chose. I wasn't frightened in imagining the soul's ghostly mane. I thought it was really neat. I knew the best time for seeing souls was during the day, when the cumulus clouds rolled overhead. Their cotton-like configurations took forms I believed to be the heavenly hosts, particularly those recently deceased. Heaven, I noticed, had a lot of old men with long white beards, and there were always loads of sheep. Like the childhood myths that I once treasured and that served me well, they became less credible as I grew older. The feeling that I had a soul, however, I never lost. I had only vague notions about what it might be. The spiritual losses in going from childhood to adulthood is how our opinions soon alter our clarity of perception. A child's mind is driven by curiosity. It's wide open. There's purity in that way of seeing that's hard to capture as we grow into adults. By the time we are adults, we have developed opinions. Opinions are the gatekeepers of our imagination. They admit into our awareness only what has first been thoroughly vetted or censored. Our souls are the elusive agent through which we can still see beyond our opinions. Einstein, as a child, imagined riding on a light beam. This became the impetus for eventually developing his theory of relativity. The revelation was, as the saying goes, all in his mind. The later mathematical computations eventually validated his vision. In our spiritual lives, this same phenomenon is called revelation. An old myth gets at this matter in another way. The gods once feared losing their powers to humans. Humans, after all, had invaded heaven with their rockets, decoded DNA, developed computers that speak, transferred hearts from one person to another, and made new limbs for the lame to walk. "They think they're God," one minor divinity grumbled. Where to hide the divine spark became the conversation. The earth's core? In black holes? On the highest mountain? They finally agreed to hide the divine spark deep in the hearts and minds of humans. Ever since we first walked the earth, we've been searching for our souls, and, bless my soul, our souls have been within us the whole time. George Merrill, On the Shore.